You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Woo! That's a bad outfit! Woo!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough!
Am I the baddest mofo no down around this town?
Sure enough!
Well, who am I?
Sure enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, issue 117 of Geek Watch 1. We are sitting here, actually, I want to give a shout-out and thanks to Panera at Howe Road in Cuyahoga Falls, because they're letting us have the space to hang out.
Oh, yeah, we weren't sure where, because our routine, our normal routine is off a little bit.
Yeah, but the Mother with Creation Studios was a little out of the way today. We just, Vicky and I and Jesse and all just got back from camping.
Yep.
So,
right,
it's been our 10th anniversary just hanging out by the campfire.
And then we had a meeting, and then here we are. It still worked out great. So, you guys have a good time?
Oh, yeah. Dude, right, cool. It was a blast.
It was a lot of fun.
You got to come next time. This weekend, you have a lot of other stuff going on, but next time, you guys got to come.
I am so not an outdoors guy.
hide the drinking of the alcohol.
If we do something like Punderson again, they have cabins. You can stay in the cabin and just visit our campsite.
Okay.
And go back to the cabin.
Oh, in the manor house. Don't forget the manor house.
Yeah,
you can stay in the haunted manor house.
Right.
Vicky was looking up stories for Bigfoot and stuff in the area, because right, we are northern part of Northeast Ohio.
Right.
In Geauga County, if anybody knows. But, in Ohio, if anybody doesn't know, is a Squatch area.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds of Bigfoot sightings and stuff that happens. There was some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Dogman and Grassman. But there hasn't been anything in that area since the late 70s.
Yeah.
But it's very haunted, and I saw lights in the woods, and so did you.
Yeah, I could have swore out of the corner of my eye at one point, straight off in the woods, there's nothing, no campsites in that area. I saw just a white light flash, and that was it. So I have no idea.
I had one out of the back window.
I mean, I may have been seeing things.
Well, we can be sure of that.
Yeah, well. Hey, I wasn't drinking, so.
That's right.
But Vicky was hearing some interesting noises and stuff, too. So that you never know. But anytime you're in the woods, you're going to get some cool stuff.
Yeah.
That's true. I've had a few experiences, like, in haunted, like, wildernesses. You know, mm-hmm. So it's... The only thing is, like, it's so hard to decipher between, like, what is just natural and what doesn't belong, unless it's just like a scream. then you know, that's a whole other level of issues.
Well, we heard like a hyena kind of laughing, but it was just some people a couple campsites down that just were freaking out over something.
I think they were just Bigfooter, like, I don't know. They were, like, doing stuff that I'm, like, woke us up in the middle of the night, and I'm, like,
well,
I heard
there was
stuff.
There was other laughing going on, too, so I was, like, they could be Bigfooters, but they could also have the non-alcoholic alcoholic drinks that we're not allowed to have there.
Yeah, remember, at state parks, you're not allowed to have any alcohol in the park.
Oh, of course not. No, not at all.
No. But I went, I checked out, the first day I was there, I was going to go, when I went to go take a shower, one of the stalls in the soap dish had one of those Twisted Tea cans was sitting in there.
And how was I drinking mine?
Yeah, Vicky had a little kid's sippy cup with the lid and the little bendy straw, and that's where she...
I just put mine in a coffee cup.
There you go.
The lid, yeah. Well, no, I think...
Because it's a coffee cup,
right,
so, you know.
It's my adult beverage.
Was it last night or the night before? One of the nights, something... I was really bugging with the dogs in the middle of the night, because they were...
That was Friday.
Was that Friday?
That was Friday night, because there was that big, loud clap of stick, too. Like, it really... It felt like, or hurt, sounded like, jeez, can't
talk. 2x4s been smacked together.
Yeah, 2x4s being smacked together, or like a big log when it finally cracks and breaks off of a and the a one tree that we, during a storm. It just sounded really loud.
The one that we saw that was kind of shattered on the road, I think that's where the lightning hit. On Thursday for us, because we were out and lightning had hit. And we're like, yeah, it's time to go in. Because it hit really close. Because you could feel it, like the electricity in the air. We're like, yeah.
Yeah, you heard you saw the flash and heard the thunder immediately. I mean, this had to have been within less than half a mile of us.
Well, no, and animals are really sensitive to weather, like to especially weather changes. And I'm convinced that they may be sensitive to something like an oncoming eclipse, too, because I think my animals are actually kind of acting kind of weird.
Well, I was hearing distant barking, like howling and stuff. Like, very, very hard to hear.
Well, actually, distant howling is not uncommon for Ohio, because we do have a pretty large coyote population.
Which is what I think last night. We had the footers on Friday night, and last night, I think that's what it was. I think that there was maybe some distant coyotes.
Yeah.
Because Friday was also when you guys were hearing the music.
Yep.
Yeah. Huh. And then we went to bed, and then that's when we were hearing the
people. Overall, it was a fun time, though.
Cool.
Oh, it was fantastic.
We got to see meteors last night.
Right. So you did get to
right
see
now,
that.
Right now, we are in the midst of the Perseid meteor shower, which is like a month long.
Right.
But last night, as of recording on the 12th, was supposed to be the biggest part of it.
Right.
This is when it hits. And luckily, all the skies cleared before Saturday, so it was a beautiful day all day Saturday. Saturday night, look up, there's thousands of stars and some shooting ones.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Cool.
Monkey enjoyed herself. She had a good weekend.
We actually had Cassie first time camping. She had a blast. We did find out putting her on the short leash is good.
Yeah.
Because she would just walk in and out just being who she is through the chairs.
Right.
And now all the chairs are tied together.
Yeah.
And then she was trying to, we took her to Nelson's Ledges.
Yeah.
We went up through a tight crevice and she wasn't sure. She was trying to do the spider with the legs straight out. I was like, no, put your feet down.
Have you ever been to Nelson's Ledges Park?
Yes.
It's anybody who doesn't know, it's basically like, think caving with no roof.
Right.
Because it's basically the ledges that were left over from when glaciers came through.
Right.
And the water has formed all these cracks and crevices between all this rock.
Right.
That you can walk through and climb on and all that stuff. And that some of these are 50 to 100 foot tall.
See, I've been there to the racetrack. There's there watching motorcycle races there.
Okay.
So I've never been like on any of the trails.
Yeah.
I know there were trails there, but I was there like for watching the motorcycle races. So.
Yeah.
I want to go to Hocking Hills next. Because they have haunted forest down there. They've got cabins for you.
That's true. You know,
campsites for us.
Or we'll go down and stay at Hocking Hills. You guys can go stay at Ravenwood because it's in Hocking Hills.
Yep.
I'm itching to get back to Ravenwood.
Yeah, we need to.
We got to talk to Jim and have all of us rent two of the cabins or something.
Well, speaking
Hocking Hills has tree houses you can rent out and stay in, too.
Oh.
Tree houses.
Tree houses.
Right?
Wow.
We keep wondering where the plumbing's going to go.
Down the tree?
No, you just do a medieval style. Just don't walk underneath it.
Yeah.
You ever seen the plumbing in the castles?
Yes.
It's basically just a hole down to the moat.
Yep.
So that's why all your restrooms are on the outside walls of the castle.
See, that's the reason why, like, in my romanticized version of that time, like, there's running, there's indoor plumbing. Indoor. It doesn't matter.
So wait,
it just is.
That's where some of those sayings come from.
the Shaolin monks had running. They had indoor plumbing. It doesn't matter. I don't want to think about it. I don't care about the one scene that I saw. Two episodes ago in was it Game of Thrones? I'm like, and I'm like, I know that was a reality, but no.
So you just don't ask about the bucket in the corner.
No.
So Kylie,
it does not exist.
What did you guys do this week?
Well, you know what?
What geeky stuff did you do this week?
What did I do this week? I was going through my trades. I've decided that. Because, I struggle when I read. I'm like, not that I don't struggle with reading. I can read very well. But I'm like, okay, so I have novels and I have this growing stack of trades. And so I decided that what I'm going to do is during the day, I'm reading my novels, and then at night, I'll read my trades. So maybe I won't feel so, because I'm starting to feel a little bit guilty now because I still want to buy all the trades. And I saw this really cool one. It was called Lords of the Jungle. Ooh. And it's a story with Tarzan and Sheena.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so and I believe this was like, apparently I was looking this up, apparently it was like a miniseries from like 2 years ago. Ooh. But I'm like, man, Tarzan and Sheena, so that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So, but then I look and I also have like this stack of like Doc Savage and Flash Gordon and along with all the Marvel stuff. And I'm like, okay, I got to start knocking this stuff out. And I kind of got the bug to start reading that again after finishing, what was it? The Coldest City, which, because I wanted to read that before we went to see Atomic Blonde. And so, and I'm like, okay, this was good. And there's something about reading trades that, you know, it's cool because, you know, you're getting that self-contained story, you know. And on top of that, you're kind of able to knock out, you know, 6 to 8 issues of something. Now I can, like, okay, because I'm one of those people, like, I love my individual issues. Mm-hmm. But if I can get the whole story in one and
done. Yeah, that's what I like, too.
So, yeah, so, but then I, but so that's kind of like where I'm at now. So I'm just kind of having to go through and build up my stack so then as I knock them out, I can put them in the box and put them away. So, yeah, that's been pretty much the week.
Cool.
You know, along with checking out, there's been some news craziness this week, too. So,
yeah. See, we've been out of context. Too. Well, in regular news, yes.
Yeah.
Right. But that's why we stay away from regular news in this place. So, no.
No.
Hey, like the romanticized.
Yes.
It just does not exist.
So, yeah. So, actually, if we got. So, yeah, this week, Netflix made a rather huge announcement.
Okay.
Netflix is buying Millar World. Okay. So Mark Millar, like all of his stuff.
That's what I thought.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I heard about that. No, that's actually been in the works for a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah, so.
Or more than that, obviously, but.
Yeah, so now Millar, he's, you know, he's a pretty big name with Marvel, you know, because he's done stuff with, a lot of the stuff he did with Marvel was like the Ultimates, which was the ultimate Marvel universe's version of the Avengers. And so he had done work with that, which actually out of that came the Ultimate Nick Fury, which is what we get in the cinematic. In fact, a lot of the see in the cinematic universe are based on Millar's versions of the heroes.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's that, and then like he has some work. He did some work with Civil War, with the Civil War story, and also he's also. I guess he's done some stuff to. Well, some of his stuff was kind of proposed for use in other cinematic versions of Marvel stuff, but for one reason or another, it didn't get used. But now the what we really know him for is like the two Kick-Ass movies. His creator owned stuff was Kick-Ass 1 and 2, the Kingsman. Also, he had, oh gosh, what was the other one that he did? Although, I'm trying to remember. Wanted. Now, mind you, the movie version of Wanted is nothing like the trade the trade paperback or graphic novel. I suggest, if you can, read the original story, because I was expecting something. I was expecting at least something somewhat similar. Completely different.
Really?
Completely different story. Yeah. I would suggest if you're looking for something that's kind of outside of what you normally would be into, what you're reading, looking for something different, give that a shot. So yeah. So now with this deal, there's several properties of his that have yet to see the big screen. There's one that's called Hook, and it features a mentally handicapped hero who works. He's like a mechanic, and he lives in a quiet seaside town and uses his gifts to help others. You know, but someone exposes his secret to the real world. So this guy, he's a superhero, has powers. But and so he likes help people in secret, but he's not your, you know, cape and everything type of guy. And that book did really well. There's one that's called Chrononauts, which is follows the time traveling adventures of two best buds. That was a really good one.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
And Dawn read that one. She liked it okay. And there was one that I read that came along, Superior. No.
Yeah. Isn't Superior like basically his version of Superman?
Yeah. Superior is his version of Superman. It's about a paraplegic boy who's transformed into a superhero, only to find out that his powers came from a demon. He has to make a bargain with to keep it. So.
That sounds like something Marcus would have wrote.
Right. And there's one, I believe it's called Twilight, I think is the one that I read.
Does it sparkle?
No, you know, maybe it's not. Is it Twilight? It's about this guy who's like a... Or no, I think it's Starlight. Starlight. That's
okay.
What it is.
Okay.
And it's about this guy who is a almost like a Flash Gordon type character.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had gone off to this planet, led a revolution, saved the planet, came back, and he told a couple people about this. And now this guy was like a famous astronaut, and they kind of wrote him off as being crazy. And so he kind of just spent the rest of his life and living in not solitude, he had no family and that sort of thing, but people just kind of like treat him like, okay, whatever you say.
Mm-hmm.
But then the people from the planet come back asking him for his help. And he's an older man at this point. So it's a story about the redemption of a hero. And yeah. I have to admit, like, if you're a fan of Flash Gordon and those types of characters, this is like an homage to those types of heroes. I thoroughly enjoyed it. That's just a few of his stories. These are the things that we will possibly get to see, or probably, for that matter, get to see on Netflix, either as a series or as their own movie, you know, because Netflix has a pretty impressive production.
Yeah,
especially when you look at, what's that Will Smith one that's coming in December? Bright,
yeah, I'm so looking forward to that.
Me too.
That when I saw the trailer, I thought that was for theatrical.
Yes, see, I did too. I didn't realize it was a series, and I'm like, but see, Netflix is really starting to do, like, it's something that started off like they had, like, it seemed like they had one or two series that was almost like, okay, we're just going to dip our toe in the pool to see what, and it went from like one or two to like, I don't even know how many series they have now.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those you start to see, okay, are people going to pick up this service because of the series?
Right.
And guess what? They do. Why do you think HBO Stars and Showtime have been doing that for years?
Right.
People are getting these channels added onto their cable package just for the shows that are on it. It's not for the movies as much anymore.
No, it's not. I mean, and
if you want to see a movie, you can get it anywhere.
Right.
And like, there's, I mean, they have shows like, and I'm one of those people. Like, I got hooked onto Westworld because, and I didn't know, like, you know, it's like, okay, I remember the movie from when I was a kid, scared the crap out of me.
I still need to see that.
But then I'm like, okay, well, this is interesting. You know, what are they going to do with this? And wow, like Westworld, like, I just, I'm nuts for it. Like, it's one of those shows I have to go back and watch like two or three times because there's so much that was going on with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that first season ended, I'm like, oh. And then I was like, okay, so when's the second season? And we know there's a second season, so there's that. So I'm happy about that. But now I'm still stuck there waiting. But, you know, when you have a quality show like that, people are willing to wait for it.
They've just been doing so good at doing original stuff and taking licensed stuff.
Yes.
I mean, all the Marvel kind of stuff that they've been doing. Stranger Things, an original kind of
Stranger Things is one of the best shows that came out last year, and of anything.
I think you told me to check out Stranger Things.
We watched it a little late, wasn't it, babe? It came out, I think, September or August,
mm-hmm.
and it was like mid-September when we finally got a chance to sit down and watch it.
We saw it like a week.
Yeah. It was one of those, you started it, and you have to finish it.
You have to watch it.
And then we came in and said, Kyle, you guys have to watch, don't question it. Just go watch one episode.
And I'm like, okay. And I'm like,
watch one episode.
And I'm like, okay, well, my evening is done.
It's like Marvel and the Goonies, and it's just perfect.
And I'm like, oh my God, this was sort of like this idealized version of me and my friends. You know, it was, and they got it right. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that second season looks amazing.
Whoever they're hiring to do their production and the writing and whatever, they just don't fire them. Don't get rid of them.
It didn't feel like this was a show from the 80s that was like left in some production room. Like, oh man, what's this? Because I swear, I felt like that I should have been watching this on VHS.
Yeah,
it seems like, you know, that's the one show we talked about last year. When I talked about how this one was a sleeper show.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this seems like it's the one show that like the Marvel shows had made Netflix a household name. Everybody knew about it from those. Right. But yep. It's like seems like Stranger Things is the one thing that hit harder than anything else they've hit, because it hit out of nowhere and it exploded.
Orange is the New Black exploded, though.
Yeah, yes. But it was
their HBO-esque type of show that they put onto Netflix.
I think it looked like Orange is the New Black got the usually leans more towards the female demographic that end up watching it for most of the time. But Stranger Things seems like it's pulled everybody.
Well, you know what? I have to admit, Orange is New Black pulled me into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it did. Like, now, the thing is, I'm not as religious about following that. But it's because it gets kind of heavy at times. Mm-hmm. But it's a really good show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know how many adult males I've seen cosplay 11?
No, yeah,
that's true.
I mean, I think that says it right
there.
See,
the thing with, like, I know for me, it's like, Orange is New Black was, I've watched it once in a while when she's watching it. I've seen 10, 15 minutes of it. It just never sucked me in for some reason.
Well, but that's one of their biggest ones that wasn't a licensed thing. That was their own original story that all of a sudden exploded.
Yeah.
And people started paying attention to the original stuff that Netflix was putting out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people are making their own stuff, and they're pitching it to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And Netflix is picking it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Netflix is becoming a viable network. It's being looked on as from filmmakers and television makers in the same way you look at the big four networks.
Right. Or it's the same way as independent writers can use Amazon and Kindle, because they can just put their own stuff out there and not have to worry about all the extra stuff to pay for.
Right.
This is what Netflix is doing for independent writers.
Mm-hmm. Right, you know, it's giving them the ability to get their stuff out there, and I think they're not making them jump through as many hoops. They're not having to play the network game.
Or know just the right people.
Yeah. Right, you know, just right people.
You have this and this and this and this.
Because Stranger Things, we would not have seen this on network TV.
No way.
No.
You know.
If we did, they would have gone back many, many times to revamp it to make it what that, you know, that those board or whatever, what they wanted it to be.
It's like, we could have, the thing is, network TV would not have taken a risk on it.
No, they wouldn't.
Because network TV is looking, okay, who's going to buy sponsorship ads on this? If they're not going to buy ads on this, then we're not going to run it.
Right. And network TV is also often will take original ideas and they tell them what has to be put in included.
Right.
And that just messes with the storyline to begin with.
It does. Mm-hmm.
So Netflix doesn't do that as often.
So
what you tangle spider it all.
Yeah.
So it looks like the Neuromancer movie is back on.
Good.
This time,
we need more cyberpunk.
Yeah.
And at this time the director is Tim Miller. From Deadpool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The Neuromancer was William Gibson, isn't it?
Yes, okay. Yeah. That was a William Gibson story from 1984.
I'm still waiting for Snow Crash. I mean, there was a couple years ago that Nick Gillard, the Swordmaster from Star Wars prequel movies.
Yes.
Okay? There was another movie he was doing, that, and he had sent just offhanded on something, had mentioned how, from here I'm moving on, and he was moving on to the next movie, and he mentioned Snow Crash. But it never went past that for some reason.
Mm.
Well,
like, dude, you got to read that book at some point.
Put down a list.
Yeah,
but that goes on the stack, but that's on the short stack.
Yeah.
So it says, but no writer's been signed on yet, but the plan is, it doesn't matter, I guess, because Miller is supposed to be working on another Terminator movie with Cameron, and then he moves on to Neuromancer.
I heard they're finally going to reboot the series. Instead of doing these half-reboot, half-not-reboot, and all this other stuff they've been doing, this one, I guess, is actually going to be a true reboot of the series. Start from scratch and move on.
All right.
Right, and so...
I reserve judgment.
And so, the movie... So it looks like they're wanting to go with, I guess, the book version So, you know, it's now sometimes they take the book and they want to tweak it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, so it seems like here that the plan right now, even though there's no writer attached, is looking like that they're wanting to go closer with a book version.
Ugh,
but we'll
goodness.
See. It's still early. It's still early.
Yeah.
So that's where we are with that. Now, in another story, now this is in the Chris Pratt news.
Ooh.
He's got a movie coming out in 2019 called Cowboy Ninja Viking.
Okay, now that almost sounds like something out of Snow Crash.
Right,
samurai wielding, gunslinging, skateboard riding pizza delivery boy.
Yeah.
Well, this one.
Well, it says that it was in. So apparently, this is based on a comic. So
kind of like Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah, something like that. So that Pratt said he's playing the lead in. In the, I guess this is a book by A.J. Lieberman and Riley Rossmo. It's called Cowboy Ninja Viking. It's an Image comic that revolves around a secret government counterintelligence initiative called the Triplet Program. The program is headed by Dr. Ghislaine. The agency uses patients with multiple personality disorders to create the ultimate assassin. When the program falls apart, the patients are hired out as trained killers all over the world. In order to stop the rogue triplets, Duncan, who is Chris Pratt, is sent out to hunt them down using the skills and personalities of a cowboy, a ninja, and a Viking.
Oh my god, this sounds fantastic.
So
it's Hitman?
Huh?
So it's Hitman?
No, but they've got multiple personalities.
So there's one person...
So
Oh,
yeah, whatever. Yeah, but so now Universal Pictures has given a release date of June 28th, 2019. So
okay,
and then got a couple other like quick things here. So it seems like Despicable Me edges out Shrek as the all-time highest. Highest grossing animated franchise.
The original? Oh, no, you mean a franchise.
The franchise, yeah.
See, what it is Shrek's not put out anything since the movie prices have gone up more.
Right. So it says that, with the haul from the latest one from Despicable Me 3, it pushes up their total amount to $3.528 billion.
Oh, God.
Barely edging out the previous title holder, which is Shrek, which is $3.51 billion.
Yeah, but you gotta think, Shrek was, what, on three movies? Despicable Me's done it on four.
Right.
Because Minions was a Despicable Me movie also.
Now,
I don't know if they
lumped
that
franchise
with it, though.
Well,
it was like five movies.
Yeah, but how many were actual theatrical? Were they all five in theaters?
At least four.
Well, no, they're counting the total franchise. They're counting everything. Because
that would include Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots, it does count. So. All right, and then one last thing. This is in Geek Watch 1 news. This past week, we premiered a new guest blog on Wednesday, Childhood 2.0. And it featured an article, and it's by a friend of the show, Leah. She wrote an interesting piece about experiencing a show or a modern version of a show that she enjoyed growing up. She was talking about Voltron.
Voltron.
Yeah, so she was a fan of the original Voltron.
Oh yeah, Voltron was awesome.
And so she also got to which she introduced to her daughter, but then she and her daughter are watching watching Voltron: Legendary Defender, and just watching her daughter, grow into this show and experience this show on her own terms. And so it was a really cool article about that. So
I'll have to check that out.
Nice. Yeah.
So we'll be seeing her more from her periodically.
I mean, Childhood 2.0 is just me in my 30s.
Yeah, that's
pretty much.
Maybe
3.0?
3.0?
2.0 was
2.0.
In my
20s. If that's the case, I'm like at 4.6.
I refuse to grow up. I'm just,
That's
upgrading
it.
My childhood.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. So, that's all the news, man.
Awesome. Well, Actually, I do want to just slip in because we've not talked. We do have an Odd Mall coming up next month.
Yes.
September 16th and 17th, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
A month from now.
Yes, at the Soapbox Derby Downs in Akron, Ohio. We are still looking for vendors, everybody out there, all your geeksters, any of your crafty geeksters, or anybody who sells anime, sells movies, sells comic books, anybody who's listening, who's within the sound of my voice, go to oddmall.info, look up the Rubber City Rumpus, and all the information will be there. Email Andy if you have any questions at the contact information on the site.
Yes.
But I know we will have... he's working on trying to get a geeky car show together, which we will have together by then.
Yeah.
And then we're not talking just your regular car show. We're talking like Ecto-1s. We're talking about what else?
Batmobile.
Maybe some Batmobile or craziness.
Are we getting the, which one is it? The Winchester's car?
Oh. I don't know.
What about yes. The Blues Brothers?
I don't know.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I don't know.
Oh, the Blues Mobile, that would be awesome.
Well, we are not providing the cars.
Hey, then we could take and drive to Chicago.
Yeah. Dude, we should figure out a way to get a Mystery Machine.
I saw a Mystery Machine, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we're working with them. If you have a geeky car,
Mater would work.
Get a hold of us and bring it on in. This is a judged auto car show.
What about Mater?
I actually have seen that too, yes. That was out in Montana we saw one of those, wasn't it?
Yeah, and around here too.
Oh, we've seen them around here? Okay. But so that, we will have the Ohio Burn Unit will be doing a show, which the Ohio Burn Unit sounds interesting, but it's fire shows, like juggling fires, breathing fire, all
eating
that type
fire.
Of stuff. Eating fire.
Fire dancing.
So they will be there on the main stage. Looks like as of right now we will have one stage running, which Mike and I are in the process of scheduling out now. But other than that, just remember, get in as quick as you can. 2-day show. Jesse and Vicky here will have cosplay competitions both days.
Yes, we will.
Show up. What is it? 2 o'clock is the cutoff for, or is it 1 o'clock the cutoff for judging?
2 o'clock.
Two o'clock is the for registration.
Yes.
So show up before 2 o'clock. Register for the cosplay competition. The Odd Mall cosplay competitions are epic. These things are amazing.
They always start at 3 o'clock, so you always know when it's going to be, no matter what Odd Mall you're at.
And we will have Gandersnitch doing the emceeing for it. So, but moving on from there, Jesse, there's a reason you're on the show with us today. Not just the fact that you were here at the meeting.
Well, that helps, yes. But I did take
I took a trip.
I went over to Europe and tooled around Wales because the Doctor Who Experience is closing in Cardiff. Sad.
So what is the Doctor Who Experience?
So that's a kind of a tough thing to answer. It kind of reminds me of the, what is it? The Harry Potter Experience, where you have a little skit kind of stuff for kids to kind of play along with at the beginning, but then after that, you're into this big area of memorabilia and original set stuff, original costumes and everything. So, but to start, when I got to Cardiff, I tried to get into a hotel that wasn't working out, but a very nice guy found me a hotel that's actually in the Bay of Cardiff, which is where the Doctor Who Experience currently is. And the hotel is called The Exchange, and it's actually just recently reopened and they're revamping it. They've actually filmed Doctor Who stuff there.
Oh!
That was a happy surprise on my part. And one of the waiters there that was when I went to dinner, and he was telling me all about it, and they even had the wrap-up party for the current Doctor Who season was at that hotel.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
So, yeah, I heard lots of fun stories. But to moving right along to the Doctor Who, I'm going through my phone and pictures so I can remind myself. The Doctor Who Experience, when you first go in, you have to buy your ticket, and there's the lobby area has like a generic little TARDIS and lots of little tchotchkes that you can buy. And you get to see some of the old Time Lord costumes from the first, not the reboot, but from the
original run of the series.
Yeah, the original run of the series. So you go into this little skit, and you're supposed to, the Doctor, they had Capaldi film some stuff for them, specifically just for the Doctor Who Experience, where he's telling us we need to find these crystals to help put the TARDIS back together so that it will take us where we need to go. And we weren't allowed to take any pictures in this because I even got to see the original box for the moment for the 50th anniversary, which you're not allowed to take pictures of because they don't want it to degrade or whatever. I don't know. But it was really...
That. Not, well, I can see the paint maybe fading, but...
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. And they didn't want you touching the stuff either, so... That made sense to me, but... It was fun. You got to kind of pretend you were driving the TARDIS around, and after you were done with all that, they dump you into this big, like, Doctor Who museum.
They just had pads on the floor when they dumped you.
Yes. But the very first thing I saw was the original Doctor Who console for the TARDIS.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to show you.
How do you even still have that thing?
I know.
Wow.
I didn't think, but it's all... The original set designs. Yeah, I might have to send some of these over to you guys so you can post them on your.
Well, this, that's the problem they've had with the original seasons of it. They're still missing episodes because stuff like that they got rid of.
They did.
Film canisters after they showed it on TV, they didn't show reruns.
They didn't
would
show reruns.
Copy over it or throw it out.
They didn't save them. They did. Oh, or some of the old costumes, you can actually see that they're kind of falling apart and degrading, and because there was a fire and all this good stuff from way back then. There was even a thing about the Doctor Who theme.
Okay.
And how they came up with that. I'll have to send that to you because it's a really cool thing. But every sign there was not only just written in English, but it was written in Welsh.
Oh, nice.
So that was really fun.
So
I don't know why.
English
that was
in really bad English.
Yes. It was awesome. They have all the iterations of the TARDIS, because they pretty much build a new TARDIS for each new Doctor.
Yeah.
So they had all those iterations out there. They had the original car for, oh, gosh, the one that wore the cape, and he was stuck on Earth.
Oh, but the third Doctor.
The third one.
Is that Pertwee?
Pertwee.
Yes. I'm like, God, I can
holy moly.
I'm
not the Whovian, but I
well,
that
I couldn't think of. See, they have the original car.
Oh, cool.
That he drove around.
Oh. Wow.
Still.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So at this museum was just, and K-9 was there.
Oh, that would have been cool to see K-9 one of the original
there.
K-9s.
I took a lot of pictures of K-9.
And that was one of the actual TARDIS is there?
Yeah. This is the actual
TARDIS.
Oh, my
gosh.
How long do we have to get over to England?
Till September. So you're running out of time. I think it's till the end of September. But so I got to see a lot of TARDIS and stuff. And then after a lot of the set design stuff was on the bottom floor. And then you walk upstairs and it had a lot of costumes. So they have this whole line of all the Doctor's costumes. The original costumes.
Okay.
They had the face of Bo, a lot of the monsters.
That would have been cool.
Oh.
The face of Bo.
The face of
there.
Bo. It's a giant. It really is giant. I mean, it was fantastic. I know. I'm showing pictures around, and I'm sorry, audience, you can't see it. I will have to send it along.
You guys should be able to see it. I mean, if you squint really hard your computer screen, you'll hear it. I promise.
They even had how they came up with the Cybermen and the iterations of the Cybermen. So there's this one glass case with 5 Cybermen heads in it.
Oh, man.
Of the different designs of Cybermen.
Oh, man, this is just too awesome.
Right? And then they even, oh, gosh, it's hard to explain, but they had some Torchwood stuff there, too. It was very tiny Torchwood.
Yeah. Now,
tiny Torchwood area.
No, I don't know I honestly don't know how big Cardiff is. I know it's a city. But how close was this museum or this experience to the set or for the exterior sets for Torchwood? Because there was that one park they used that was supposedly the exterior entrance to the Torchwood.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like I could see it from the front door of... It was a few miles away, because that's more towards the center of Cardiff, and the experience was on the bay, which happens to be where they do all the filming, too. So, from the center... not the center, but the front of the Doctor Who Experience building, you can see the set lot where they do all the filming for Doctor Who.
Oh, nice.
I know. I was like, oh, man, they're all done filming, so I can't even try and see any of them, because they're all gone. They had all of the, I was going to call them exterminators, but that's not what they are.
Daleks.
Yeah. Including Davros, and a couple of his iterations. I'm going through all my pictures now because I took a lot. They have a good portion of the sonic screwdrivers. They don't have all of them because some of them were destroyed.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, but they were in glass cases. You weren't allowed to even breathe on them.
Yeah.
You could look at them through the glass case, and that was it. My only complaint was that the lighting in there made it so that if anything was behind glass, you couldn't really see it if you're going to try and take a picture.
I know that feeling because we did the Star Wars Art of Costume exhibit down in Cincinnati a couple months ago, and it was a very similar idea. Remember that, Vicky?
Yeah, no taking flash.
Taking pictures in the case didn't work well.
No, yeah. Well, that wasn't fine. It's just we were allowed to use flash.
Yeah.
They even had a separate corner specifically just for the 50th anniversary stuff. So yeah. that was really neat to see. Including the moment, and then when he wished that, why isn't there just a big red button? And then, you know, later in the episode movie, it was a big red button, and that was there. I really want to lean over and press it, but I figured I'd be thrown out if I did that.
Well, it's kind of like me when you walk around, they had the Obi-Wan Kenobi costume with no glass, just standing on a mannequin.
Yeah, and you're like, I could touch it. It's right
and
there.
And it was the Alec Guinness Kenobi costume.
Oh. Yeah.
You gotta get down there, man.
They even had stuff from the current season. So they had Capaldi's costumes. They had his some of his companion stuff in there. Some of the monster stuff in there.
Did they have his guitar?
No guitar. I was looking for that. I was searching because some of the stuff was actually kind of hidden and back because they had so much stuff.
Right.
And a lot of it, some of it was like on loan from people's private collections.
Oh.
Because, you know, BBC didn't have the rights to everything because stuff was auctioned off.
Right.
It was.
Or just pulled out of
dumpsters?
Dumpsters and race receptacles.
Yes. Another like happy accident was they actually have a wall where they did a really cool mural of Doctor Who stuff.
Oh,
that's
so
cool. It was really cool to see.
Cool.
I didn't expect that there because it kind of reminded me of things you see here in the U.S., not over there. I think I spent 3.5-4 hours there just walking around and looking at all the things and then re-walking the room and finding things I had missed the first time I'd made the pass through there. And it was really exciting to see the kids that would run through there and either freak out because they saw a monster like one of the Daleks or a weeping angel.
Oh my gosh.
Or freak out because, oh my God, it's the doctor stuff. And there were a lot of parents trying to rein their children in because they wanted to reach out and touch stuff too. And I was like, ugh, I feel your pain, kid. I feel your pain.
But, well, okay, how big were the weeping angels?
Taller than you. They're like 6.5-7 feet tall.
See, you know, it'd be fine if they were like, a little bit like shorter than me. I'd be like, no, see, oh crap.
No.
And well, you gotta think they're supposedly mausoleum angels.
Yeah.
So they're the size of like a griffin and stuff.
The ones that were in the museum section were definitely taller than you. The ones in the experience part of it, you know, the beginning stuff, they were more like mannequins that were converted to be weeping angels.
Right.
So they weren't quite as scary.
Yeah, they were more prop angels.
Yes, they were prop angels.
See, that makes me think about that one angel.
That's what I was hoping. They didn't have any actors pretending to be any of the monsters in each of the three rooms that we had to go through for the experience.
See, what it is they're not trying to go for scare factor. Even though the rest of us would think that would be the greatest thing in the world.
I was sad about that, especially when we were walking through all the Weeping Angel section. I was like, why aren't there any actors in here?
The best part is if an actor had their eyes covered, and as you walk up, they go, boom. And then they cover their eyes again. That's all you needed.
It's just like that one angel that's in I guess the cemetery of the church in Ellet. You know, there's this one like when I drive by,
and
it looks
like it's crying.
And I look and I'm like, like Doctor Who has ruined statues for me now. You know, and like because you know that's one of those things. Like really, if you think about it, some of probably the scariest monsters on there are the most simple ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really. Okay. Like when you think about it, you can either as bad as some of the Cybermen can look, like, you know, just based on just because they didn't have a lot of budget,
right?
Still, the concept of those guys are pretty scary.
It's just a robot uprising, and that's just a consistent sci-fi storyline.
You know, that's just...
It's creepy.
Towards that direction, yeah. Real.
And when they... Yeah. I remember the first time I saw Weeping Angels. Like, the very first... Which one was it? Blink.
Blink, yep.
From that point on, it's like... I remember later on that week, I had to drive down... had to drive through downtown Cleveland. I had to pick up Dawn for something. And we passed by the Federal Building. And you see, the Federal Building has... has like these Greek type statues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nope.
No. No. And then, you know, they used to be like, just like, oh, that's cool. No, now suddenly I'm looking like, did he move? Like, you know, like, because I could have sworn the head was a different position. You know, it's.
That was the thing that I was missing out on the experience. I really wanted them to, even just if they had an animatronic that only moved its head.
That would have been, yeah.
Like every 3 minutes. And you're like, oh my god, he wasn't looking at me 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, that would be... Yeah, because...
That's all they would need.
I think that's all you... Cause, or like, if the eyes... It, like, if the head just...
Or the mouth open.
Or the mouth open. Oh.
Now, the Weeping Angels
that was
are...
It. That's all you would need.
I'm now, done.
Because not everyone chances, would notice.
Wait, what's the chances of the first iteration of the Weeping Angels in the series at all? The idea of them was that first episode of Eccleston's with the mannequins. Then they may have... That idea of creature... may have been what morphed into the angels.
Actually, see, the mannequins were an old one. I think the mannequins appeared in the original series.
Okay.
They did.
So, but...
Then I'm wondering if that they didn't morph that idea and then tweak it and make it a whole lot scarier and turn it into the angels.
Well, I think they liked the thought of the audience being freaked out by the fact of mannequins seemingly to come to life and being a bad guy. And they're like, well, what else is an inanimate kind of humanoid? Statues.
Yeah.
What would be even creepier? Angels.
And the best part of it is, for the budget of the series,
mm-hmm.
is you don't even have to have actors playing the angels because they never move on screen.
Nope. No.
Ever.
Yep.
No. It's just like, or like when they
you
were...
just carve them out of foam.
When they were in New York.
Oh, yeah.
The Statue of Liberty. Really? The Statue of Liberty is a weeping angel.
There were a lot of people who absolutely hated that, and I didn't mind it so much because, you know, it was an alternate dimension / timeline.
Yeah.
But it creeped me out.
Yes, yeah. I mean, because you're standing there, I mean, the Statue of Liberty is standing over him, its mouth is open, you're like...
Because then it kind of brought up the thought of not just angels as weeping angels, but any statue is potentially a weeping angel.
Well, I gotta think it's gonna protect us from when Godzilla comes to shore.
Yeah, Godzilla turns his back on the Statue of Liberty. He's done.
Is that why we haven't actually seen Godzilla? Has he already been sent back?
Well, he's scared of the statue.
They touched him. He's back in time.
That's right.
He's with the dinosaurs.
Hey, that's why we keep getting reboots.
Yeah. It's a good writing tool to kind of reboot or change the timeline or, you know, we got a little too convoluted. We have to do something to reset the timeline.
Comic books been doing it for years. Marvel and DC both have had to reset how many times because of the history, how old the company is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. DC Comics, and almost 80 years now for Superman.
Yep.
You can't have an 80-year-old Superman.
No.
So you have to do something to make him more modern.
Or like the Flash, have they done that yet? With
Flash,
the...
he's died and come back, yeah.
No, I meant like in the show, have they reached
that
point?
Well, the series they haven't had to. Well, Flashpoint, but they really didn't use it to change anything other than to give Caitlin Snow her powers.
Right.
Well, that seems like a missed opportunity.
But we have had confirmation that they are looking forward. They are planning on doing a Crisis.
Oh, good.
We don't know. I don't know exactly when, because as of it should be in 2020.
I wonder if they're going to do that in the movie, though.
Well, the movie is Flashpoint. So Flashpoint in the DC Comics is a variation on the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Flashpoint was a reset, a reboot. That's what changed. In 2011, DC Comics changed from what they'd been doing for eons and eons,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing it well,
yeah.
to the New 52 universe,
right?
Which really wasn't all that good.
No.
And it's taken them until the last June with Rebirth to finally decide, okay, well, let's fix this and bring the history back into DC Comics. That's what mainly was. The New 52 removed all the history and rebooted everything.
See, I didn't read much about DC growing up, and... I kind of fell out of watching Flash because I missed a few episodes. Mm-hmm. My DVR decided that it didn't want to record them. And so I haven't caught up. And so I hear about you guys talking about it. Yeah. And I'm just like, I got to start watching it again so I can be up to date.
Well, Crisis on Infinite Earths, last I heard, from what I've heard, was the first ever company-wide reboot of any of the comic companies.
It
Marvel's
was.
Done it since then. DC's done it a couple times since then. And basically, it was to bring the histories of the characters up to modern times. So Superman and Batman are not in their 70s.
It's better. I like that trope better than just a reboot of the series.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Crisis was so big because I think, like, the only thing that even rivaled Crisis, and it wasn't even a reboot at all, was Secret Wars.
Secret Wars was after Crisis, wasn't it?
I don't know. Secret Wars was like 84.
Okay. But Secret Wars wasn't even a reboot.
It was just a company-wide event. Yeah, it was like the first major event. It was like a 12 issue event.
And it took place across the entire Marvel Universe.
Right.
Wow.
But even then, it wasn't. It didn't incorporate crossovers from other books. Everything was just in the Secret Wars series. Mm-hmm. But then the aftermath was felt through all the books. And that's where Spider-Man got the black costume.
Yeah.
And
ripple effect.
Yeah, all the ripple effect through the other books. But it wasn't until Crisis that's when Barry Allen died.
Supergirl died. There was a couple of other characters, too. And Barry Allen actually stayed dead until 05 or 06?
Yes.
When Geoff Johns finally brought him back from the dead.
Yeah.
Oh.
It also set off the events that led to what they did in Zero Hour in the 90s.
Yes.
Because after Crisis, it put... Because all of DC Comics took more of a darker twist a little bit after that.
Right.
Because that was about the same general time that Frank Miller did the...
Dark Knight Returns,
which is what basically changed Batman.
Yeah.
Until Dark Knight Returns came out, you still had the Adam West Batman on the pages of the comic books.
Right.
That's who Batman was. Who you see in the Super Friends, that's who you were reading.
Oh.
Then Dark Knight Returns happens, all of a sudden, you have a brand new Batman.
Yeah. Right.
John Byrne with the Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Changed Superman. It didn't change the character much, but that's the book that actually... It was a 6-issue series that actually updated his history so that now he crash lands in Earth in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So that in the 80s, when this is happening, he's in his late 20s, early 30s as Superman, and you can keep him going.
Right, and they kind of downplayed the whole nerdy thing. Like Clark played football in high school.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And he was like more of an average...
I actually just got that Kenmore where I get my books. Actually had bundles of comic for $5. I got the 6 issues of the Man of Steel.
Oh,
it's
wow.
really it's an awesome series. You'll have to read through it maybe.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's like I'm not even a fan of Superman. I enjoyed that series. So,
but yeah, it's like those were two of the ones that with Crisis helped spur the recreation of those. To reboot The Flash, they basically just they killed Barry Allen and let Wally West become Flash.
Yeah.
Wally West had been Kid Flash since the 60s.
Yeah, okay.
And he worked his way through Titans and everything else. He wasn't as much in the Flash books anymore because he was working with Titans and New Titans and all that. So they let him actually step up to become Flash.
Right.
Later on is when they brought in Kyle Rayner to be Green Lantern, but that was with all the events that led up to Zero Hour.
Right, because
Logo killed... The Crisis on Infinite, or not Crisis, Death of Superman story with the Reign of Superman, the Cyborg Superman, Henshaw, and worked with Mongol to destroy Coast City,
right?
Which is what caused Hal Jordan to go crazy and want enough power, and Hal Jordan being the major Green Lantern at the time, he wanted enough Green Lantern power and enough willpower to actually bring the city back to life because that was where he lived. Everybody he loved was there. And by doing that, he becomes so power-hungry that he actually destroyed the entire Green Lantern Corps.
Wow.
And destroyed Oa, if I remember right.
Yes, he did. And it became Parallax.
And what it was Parallax was in the central power batteries that the Guardians had actually hidden him there a long time ago to trap him.
Uh-huh.
But that's why Parallax being in the central power battery was why the Green Lantern rings had a weakness to yellow. Because the yellow color of fear was already in the power battery.
Mm-hmm. They don't describe that in the not-so-awesome Green Lantern movie.
No.
Actually, the Green Lantern movie would have been fine if they would have let him tell one movie.
Yeah. Right.
They put three stories in a one movie, and you get that.
Yeah, like like if they had taken Emerald Dawn...
Then they did not learn that from Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Nope. Well, if they had taken Emerald Dawn and made that the Green Lantern movie, it would have been fine.
Well, if they had taken it up to the point where Hal is trained by Sinestro and maybe even have Sinestro fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would have been a good story.
I just didn't understand why they tried.
You don't add Hector Hammond, you don't add Parallax and all this other stuff to
mash it all into one movie when it's like having a three-book series and like, well, let's just make one movie out of these three giant books.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, man, well, you would end up with the Lord of the Rings movie from the late 70s.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Lord of the Rings cartoon.
Is that also the one that we just don't talk about?
Yeah, no. It's
what? Nirvana did that the one, end, didn't the,
huh?
Was Nirvana that did that one?
Yeah, I think so, because it was because it had the rotoscoping and where
it
there's
was their
a whip,
style, if nothing else.
Where there's a whip, there's a way.
Yeah.
There was which every now and then, if I'm at work, that song goes through my head. I'm like, ugh.
But no, that's the crisis set off in the Secret Wars, these major crossovers, and it was weird that. What was that? At that point, you're about 50 years into these companies, and they hadn't done anything super huge like this before.
Right, and then it became a trend, and
now
every year.
Every 5 to 6 years, you end up doing something huge like that.
Yeah. You know,
and now it's getting to the point where it's almost every year. Although DC isn't planning a major anything like that. They got the Dark Knight Metal coming up.
Right,
but that's not going to be an entire company-wide thing.
No, that's just more like... What just tied
it's
to him?
It's a Batman story, mm-hmm. but it's like a dark Batman, and you're gonna have 7 different ones that are each one is a dark evil Batman version of one of the Justice League members.
Okay.
And the last one that they've not shown any of the art for yet is the Batman Who Laughs.
Oh.
Which Vernon and I were thinking that's actually gonna be because the Superman version of it is Batman Doomsday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the Superman version of the evil Batman.
Right.
Because Doomsday would be the opposite of Superman, really.
Right.
So this is going to... We're thinking... They're looking at the Joker being the opposite of Batman. So this is going to be the Batman Joker.
Right.
Oh, God.
It's going to be interesting to see. And it's a 7 or... I think it's a 12-part miniseries. Or it's either 6 or 12-part miniseries. And then it's got 7 one-shots that are in there. And each one is... one of them is... Batman the Red Murder or Dark Knight the Red or Metal the Red Murder or something is the I don't remember because I'm going right off the top of my head.
Hey.
And that's the Flash. They have one, the Dawnbringers, probably Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. And they have all these other ones.
Okay. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
It's a story that they've started the preview of it. The first 2 issues of the prequel version are already out.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And they have Dark Knight the Forge and Dark Knight the Casting.
Okay.
And these are being written by all of the Batman team. Like, Scott Snyder's in there. Tom King's in there. I think Ethan Van Sciver's helping out with the Green Lantern version of it.
Okay.
One.
He's going to be in town next month.
For what?
For the... which one is it? Hall of Fame City Comic Con.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, just look up Dark Knight's Metal. That's going to be your... that's going to... Because the back of all the books right now... And the books has actually your checklist. Because anytime you do a crossover thing like this, they get a checklist in all
right,
the books.
Of course, yeah.
Good.
So it'll tell you everything. And I think it goes basically through January.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Well, at least it's not going to be some 12-month event that, you know, so...
Or where Rebirth is at right now, we're 13 or 14 months in and it's still going.
See.
I mean, but they're not doing major changes with every book. It's just they're under the Rebirth title, they're not moving... they're not moving the story extremely fast.
Right.
Which is good, because then you're getting used to it. Then they do a little tweak here, a little tweak there. The next major step for Rebirth is the Doomsday Clock coming in November,
mm-hmm.
which is basically a Superman Dr. Manhattan book.
Ooh.
The whole idea with Rebirth is of bringing the Watchmen into the mainstream DC universe.
Oh.
Yeah.
They had a couple of issues of Flash and Batman, which they was going back and forth between Flash and Batman, and it was the storyline called The Button.
Mm-hmm.
Because the button was found in the wall of the Batcave.
Oh.
And it was the button, the Watchman button with the bleeding smiley face.
Yeah.
Comedian.
The comedian.
That was found in the cave.
Oh,
and you got, and you have Barry Allen and Bruce Wayne, the two greatest detectives in the DC universe, trying to investigate what is going on.
Now, the funny thing is that, like, if you go back... Like if you're watching if you watch Teen Titans Go, there's references to the Watchmen all through it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like there's one where they all get yearbooks.
Mm-hmm.
If you go through and you pause, there's like, I think Dr. Manhattan signed somebody's yearbook, the comedian signed something. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, no, based on the I guess, demographic for Teen Titans Go, kids wouldn't be getting this.
No.
No.
You know, and I'm sitting there, I'm like,
that's probably for the parents having
some. Why would the comedian be signing their year up? I'm just gonna let it go.
That could be the same thing that Marvel's been doing with their with Marvel doing their animated,
right.
Is you introduce the kids to these characters that you know are coming to either the mainstream movies,
right,
or to the comic books on the DC side, mm-hmm. and so that they're getting to know these names, so that when this comic book comes out, they're like, "Oh, I've heard of this guy."
Mm-hmm. It's like little Easter eggs too to go back to. Right.
Yeah, because I'm like, the thing is, like,
DC's
the comedian
owned the Watchmen since the beginning. I think they were the ones that originally published it.
They did. It was a DC book. It's just that I don't know. It's sort of like I'm a pretty liberal, easygoing kind of guy, you know that. But it's sort of like, I wouldn't know how I'd feel about if I had a kid, them wanting to read The Punisher. You know, and you're like, you know, there's sort of like,
there's certain books that you're like, you know what, I'll let you know when you can read that one.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, you know, the comedian, same way. I'm like, I don't know if you're old enough for the comedian, because,
well, just the Watchmen in general. It's like, get 15, 16, then we'll talk about the Watchmen.
Yeah, right? I mean, because there's, I mean, just in the trade alone, like, I haven't read any of the standalone books that have come out after.
Yeah, the prequel. I think they're all prequels.
Prequels, right. Yeah. So I haven't read any of those, but just the Watchmen graphic alone, I'm just like,
I got about halfway through it. My problem is, it's weird for me switching from comic to novel to comic to novel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because there's like a 6 to 10 page novel in between each chapter of the comic book.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just weird for me.
Right, in there, yeah, because you got, and then see, like, what's going on in that little graphic novel, it kind of parallels what's going on
in the actual writing,
you know. So it gets a little tedious until you get to the end. Once you get to the end, then you're like, okay. But it gets kind of, and that's a pretty dark book. I think you almost have to be in a really good place to read that, because it's kind of heavy.
Yeah.
You know. I like it. Don't get me wrong.
It's a great, that's a lot of,
really
well
written story.
Right.
It was a lot of Alan Moore in general was like that.
Yeah.
Even his Swamp Thing stuff, I think, was like that, from what I've been told.
Yeah. Like, if you read any, V for Vendetta is definitely like that.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, seems like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was a little bit lighter to me.
It felt like more comedic and moments of true comedy, not just a dark comedy.
That may have been taking the Victorian sensibilities or something and writing about the reason he's writing about that, not about modern dark stuff.
Right.
That's true, yeah.
That's true.
So, but actually, I had a question about, because out of Comic-Con, did we talk about Frank Miller's new project? Did you hear about Frank Miller made an announcement at Comic-Con?
No.
What?
Now, Frank Miller, what's the character he doesn't like out of DC?
I don't know.
Frank Miller crashed the one of the publisher's panels or something. It was one of the panels at Comic-Con that he wasn't scheduled to be on, but they brought him out anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's writing a new Superman Year One book.
What?
Frank Miller, traditionally, from everything I've ever heard, does not like Superman.
So
I'm like, what is he going to do to Superman in Superman Year One?
Well, you know what? Are we going to
get the Man of Steel on the comic book page?
Superman's in for a rough time.
Man of Steel, the movie, on the comic book page?
You might. I have to admit, like, before he got his hands on Daredevil was just a blind version of Spider-Man. Like, it was kind of quippy.
That's what it was like in the old cartoons, too. Because if you look at, I'm talking like, he was on Spider-Man and Amazing Friends at one point.
Yes,
and it was the same thing. He was just like Spider-Man, just blind.
Yeah, and that was it. But then once, and be honest with you, they weren't really sure what to do with his powers. They gave him this, like, you know, he's blind and he has, they kept him blind and he had heightened senses. But, like, they even gave him the ability to taste certain colors, because certain colors had vibrated differently. in the spectrum. That was
funny. Huh. If I remember right, there's actually
works. That's really weird.
Yeah, there's actually people that in the real world that supposedly sense things differently. That, that when they see colors, they think of a taste. It's just something in their brain clicks that way. That like they'll see blue and immediately they'll taste whatever something that, and that's how they represent in their brain what
it's
the colors
called. Stop sniffing the nail polish.
but there's other things like that too. It's not just colors. But there's different things. Like people will hear a certain sound and it'll trigger something, some other sense instead of just hearing it.
Right. It's once Frank Miller came on. Frank introduced the ninjas there. Brought in the hand.
Yeah,
And I think Frank also yanked Kingpin from Spider-Man and brought him over to make him one of the main bad guys.
So he wasn't always a Daredevil bad guy.
No. Kingpin was a Spider-Man bad guy.
Well, I knew that
Frank Miller
too.
Came in on it.
He was the other one that was on Spider-Man as Amazing Friends back in the day.
Yes, right. And then that's when he kind of brought in Stick and kind of did this whole thing about. Make it about the, I guess the chase in the hand, and you know, and he was like his Stick trained, Matt, you know, and all that. So that and Frank Miller kind of darkened it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not much though. I mean, I think he just made him just a little bit more gritty, a little bit more serious character.
See, that's what I'm scared about. It's because Superman doesn't need all that darkness in him to make him relevant.
Superman is not gritty.
No, Superman's not gritty. And, you know, for all we know, you know, they may not do that with him. I mean, you still have...
That would be interesting to see Miller tell an actual bright and sunny story.
Although, but when you think about it, why wouldn't Superman be gritty? I mean, just because he's technically an alien, he still grew up on Earth.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't he be as gritty as the normal everyday person just who happens to have
It took us all this
powers.
Time to finally get Superman back.
Let's mess him up. Let's mess him up.
No. Yeah. The new 52 Superman, they took him. He was like in his early, I don't remember the actual age, but he appeared to be like in his early 20s. Mm-hmm. He was dating Wonder Woman and all this other weird stuff was going. No.
Wonder Woman would not date Superman.
No, she wouldn't. She
he
would.
Was a different, this was not recognizable as Superman other than the fact that he had a red S on his chest.
Oh, yeah, well. She was the only one that could handle him.
That's not where I was going with that.
I went there.
So, but
that was
no.
the reasoning behind that.
I like what they're doing with Superman right now. I like him being married with a kid.
It bothers me that he's married with the kid. I don't know why.
He's been married since the 90s.
Yeah, they weren't really married.
Yeah, no. If you actually read the books in the 90s, they were a married couple.
I mean,
have the wedding album.
How is he legal? He doesn't have a birth certificate.
Technically, he's an illegal alien.
Well, yeah,
he would be.
No. They faked all that because John and Martha actually had a birth certificate.
But if it's faked, that means he's not legally married.
He's not an illegal citizen.
That makes him an undocumented worker, right? Somebody call ICE. It's a joke.
But it looks like right now in Superman, they're actually giving. Superman family, a dark version too, because Zod has just brought Urza and Lor Zod out of the Phantom Zone, his wife and son.
Out of the Phantom Zone.
So now Superman has Lois and John, and Zod's got Urza and Lor Zod.
Lor Zod, I thought.
Yeah. Wow. So, as soon as they were removed from the Phantom Zone, they took off and found, and they're basically starting a new Krypton somewhere, so. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
New Krypton?
Yeah, but there's not that many Kryptonians out there to do it unless he figures out a way to open up the Phantom Zone.
How many Kryptonians? Well, oh, yeah, because all those criminals are...
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Superman's got
some
interesting
stuff going on. There's lots of Kryptonians. They're just locked away.
Yeah.
Well, we know what they weren't doing.
We're going
to
have a prison planet.
So has Marvel found anything to actually stick to the wall yet? Because DC actually has had a cohesive storyline for over a year now.
Well, actually, they're starting. Was going to be in
since we're in comic book.
I don't know if it starts next month or if it's going to be in October. They're starting something called Legacy, which is basically bringing back they're hailing back to where we were prior to all new, all different, and all those stuff.
Wait. Sounds a little like they're rebirthing the line.
Yeah.
I know you're seeing.
Yeah, because I'm just like, you know, I was talking to my comic guy. He goes, He goes, so I guess I'll be hearing from you again soon, because I said, yeah. You know, so apparently they're doing this whole thing where they'll be renumbering so I can actually end up with Iron Fist number 75. And I'm like, I don't care. I just want to have a good story.
Right.
You know, it could be number 3. I just want a good story. So
I'm sorry, that's too much to ask at this moment.
So that's where I guess that's where they are.
Switch back. A couple of the titles, though, they need to switch back to their original numbering from way back in the day, because if you look at Marvel, some of theirs should be reaching 500 by now. Well, like some of Spider-Man and Hulk and some of those ones should be reaching right around the 500 mark.
Spider-Man, Hulk, Daredevil.
Fantastic Four, if they hadn't canceled it years ago.
Yeah. Spider-Man. Well, we might be seeing Fantastic. I'm getting the feeling that we might be seeing Fantastic Four coming back.
Yeah.
I just got this
I'm still
feeling.
Saying, we've said it multiple times, we say it almost every week, that there's smoke. There's a lot of smoke right now.
There's a lot of
Marvel
smoke.
Marvel and so. Fox are doing something. Mm.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll Coconut? See where that's going to go.
Yeah, well.
But I have a feeling that we're going to see. And like I said, I think I said a couple, 3 weeks ago, I'm calling it right now, I believe that by the end of this year, we will have, if either we will have or there will be some type of plan for a Fantastic Four comic.
Yeah.
I just got this feeling.
I wouldn't
just
be mad about that.
I wouldn't either.
I liked the Fantastic Four. I just hated where they kept going with it.
I understand that the movies
suck.
But see, I enjoyed the first two movies. I thought they were fun, but I didn't read Fantastic Four.
But see, the thing was, they never portrayed the Fantastic Four, right? The Fantastic Four are science heroes who happen to have superpowers.
Yeah.
And they never play them off as that.
The only one that was Reed Richards.
Because
he was sciencing the whole time.
I didn't mind the Fantastic Four movies as long as I didn't think of them as the Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's kind of like watching Gotham.
Yeah.
Vernon, for a long time, until I made him realize that Gotham is an Elseworlds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Until that clicked in his head, he had a hard time with Gotham.
Yeah.
Now just it's like, you know what? We could put Batman on the scene right now. It doesn't matter because it's an Elseworlds. This isn't the actual origin of these characters.
Right. No, it's not. You know, I think whoever is behind that show, once they just embrace that, just let the crazy go.
Yeah.
And then it's gotten a whole lot better.
Yes.
It's gotten fun.
I really enjoyed Gotham, and I stopped watching it for some reason, and then I'm just like, no, there's so much that's gone on, I can't just jump right back in the middle.
No. Well, I think I
didn't have a problem separating Gotham from, the rest of the
universe. I didn't either. I think, like, going into the second season, once I kind of realized that, I'm just like, I'm
done. Yeah. Let the crazy.
Say that too many fingers in the cookie jar, they finally were removed.
Good.
Yeah.
Take out some of the executives and let the writers actually write the show.
What? You mean if you let the writers do what they do best and you'd get the producers out of it telling them, well, but we need this to satisfy this demographic, it actually goes well?
That's crazy talk.
Oh, so
what Netflix has been doing?
Or like you're working with Marvel Studios.
Yep.
Marvel Studios runs themselves. Disney, it appears that Disney stays out of it and says, you know what? You guys are being profitable. Keep going.
You know what? Right. Marvel Studios, Netflix, take note. They're doing things right.
Yes.
If you let Warner the writers Brothers, do their thing and don't try and just say, poke, 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 but we need this.
Yes. Yep. WB, open up your ears.
Don't tell me what I like. WB. Stop me watching.
Warner Brothers. The Warner Brothers Studios are I've said a long time ago, the only problem with DC Comics movies is Warner Brothers Studios.
Yep.
But it looks like, from everything it looks, looking at Wonder Woman, moving ahead from there, it looks like they've finally kind of figured this out. They're letting Geoff Johns and the other executive producer, the guy who actually is a Warner Brothers guy, but it looks like he's actually listening to Geoff Johns.
Right.
And they're making comic book movies.
The Wonder Woman movie is the first one of that genre from that company that I've seen that I was like, oh, you mean they didn't try and do fan service to me? They let the writers write the story the way it should have been told?
Thank you.
Of course, I have several small issues with it, but the story itself was just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was, yes.
Because they let it alone.
Yes.
That's crazy talk.
Well, actually, this is a good point. Do you have anything else you want to cover or talk about today, Kylan? Anything happening in the world of Kylan that we need to talk about?
No, I think that's everything, man.
Okay, anybody else got anything else before we wrap this up?
Nope.
Cameron's been quiet because he's not a comic book guy. Cameron's been sitting with us here this whole time.
We had a few groans from him for some of the things we talked about, but that's about it.
So, but Geeksters, thanks for hanging out with us. Remember, you can always find us at geekwatch1.com. Anywhere, everywhere on the internet. If you find a search bar, you put in geekwatch1. If you don't find us, let us know. Send us an email. Miss Dawn will take care of the problem.
Yes, she will.
All social media, we are also geekwatch1 at geekwatch1@gmail.com. That's how you get a hold of Miss Dawn. You send that email in, you will be talking directly to Miss Dawn. So, you can also find us on the Tangentbound at Weeby Geeks Networks at tangentboundnetwork.com and weebygeekspc.com. And then for Kylan and Jesse and Cameron and Vicky and myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.